Speaking of getting you to the whiteout later on, which we'll announce the winner of that in the second hour, you cannot fly a drone over the whiteout. And to talk about that, we welcome in local photographer and a real good friend of our station's here with Course. Dan Harper joins me now from danharperphotography.com. How are you, sir?
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me, man.
How long have you been doing photos and whatever with a drone?
Well, I've been full-time 18 years, but with a drone, I only got my license 3 years ago.
And that is interesting to me alone, Dan, that you have to have a license to have a drone.
Yeah, and you know what? Not a lot of people know that, and I think that's what could be happening here with the whiteout parties. It's a huge, like, everybody wants a piece of it, right? It's amazing to see that many people come together. We're proud of it as Winnipeggers. And there's just a lot of people, you know, it's like a lot of other laws that people just aren't aware of. But there's some huge laws that are all regulated by Transport Canada that come into effect here. Now, you can... Actually, you can drone at these whiteout parties, but there's a lot of legislation that goes into that. And I can tell you all about that.
Yeah, that's what I want to know is. So, yeah. Like, I think most of us, and I don't have one, but I know people in my friends and family even yeah. went out and got a drone, fly it over the lake or whatever they're doing. And it's amazing. We watch the footage of it. I didn't realize that, you know, there's legalities around it and a license. Tell us about
it. Yeah, so what I did, now there's two licenses in Canada. Technically there's three, but the two that are appropriate here, more important, are the advanced license and the basic license. And the two main differences between those things, the main differences between those two things is that with your advanced license, you are basically a full pilot. You're legally a pilot. You can fly anywhere you want. You just have to go through the same, you know, rules and regs that any other pilot flying a Cessna or a helicopter or a, you know, 737 or whatever would have to do. With your basic license, you cannot fly in an aerodrome. That is the main difference. So the biggest question is, what's an aerodrome? So any airport is an aerodrome, but not all aerodromes are airports. So, for instance, there's smaller areas that have been designated an aerodrome because maybe pilots are parking their planes there out in the countryside, right?
Okay.
There's also water aerodromes. So, for instance, up closer to Pine Falls, there's actually, and again, Kenora, huge water aerodrome, right? Because a lot of those planes are taking off directly from the water. So that's a huge one to be careful with. So if you're flying out on the lake, you know, and again, the people who are getting their basic license, and actually I got some good stats for you, there's around 80,000 basic licenses in Canada, but there are only about 7,500 advanced licenses in Canada.
Wow.
And those are stats that Transport Canada gives out in one of their quarterly newsletters. So when you're a pilot, Transport Canada respects you just like everybody else. You got to file a flight plan. There are certain areas in the city here that I call the tower, just like anybody else would. Now, again, I call them. I don't use a radio because that hasn't been implemented yet. But I call them just like anybody else taking off would, and I say, you know, I'm. For instance, at Assiniboine Park is a hugely contested area because it's got planes that's right on the approach to the airport, right? And so they can actually be in the exact same airspace that I'm using, whereas opposed, if you're out in the country, the likelihood is the only thing you really got to look out for is a crop duster. So again, I took my courses, about 120 hours of study. I did a Transport Canada test. Again, M3 Aerial was great, local company here at getting me ready for that. You take the Transport Canada test right on their website. When you pass it, you don't actually have your license yet. You need to do a review. And so you do an in-person review exactly like you would do getting your car license, right, your driver's license. So you do the written exam, and then you do the actual in-person driving test. Now, so how you would actually go about doing a flight at the whiteout is that you would have to have a couple of extra things. One of the things that Transport Canada gets really sticky about, because you have to think about it, Transport Canada is all about mitigation of risk. They do not want people getting hurt. That's their job, right?
Yeah, of course.
And that's the aviation industry across Canada. You know, they're the national governing body for that. They make the rules. And then NAV Canada is the civilian body who actually talks to the pilots and makes sure that everybody's safe with those rules. So four, if you wanted to fly at the whiteout party, here's what you'd need. You would need your advanced license, because most of Winnipeg is an aerodrome, and there's actually two other major aerodromes in the city, which is the HSC helicopter landing pad, and then the city of Winnipeg also has, I think their insect branch, has a helicopter that takes off from just around Dugald Road. So there's those three main aerodromes in the city. And so, again, in order to fly downtown Winnipeg, you would have to be filing flight plan, calling the tower before you go up. But in the case of the whiteout parties, when there are thousands of people, not just in one place, but also going back to their car and coming in, they want another risk mitigation factor, which is an SFOC. So that's a special flight operations certificate. So, for instance, you would have to use that if you were a helicopter and there was a special event, and let's say you wanted to land at Assiniboine Park. It's not a regular aerodrome. So you'd have to say, you know, here's our landing area and so on and so on. You'd have to plan that really well with them. And that's the same thing that you would have to do to cover the whiteout party, is that you would have to get an SFOC. Normally they can take anywhere from a couple weeks to even a month or so, depending on how involved they are, for Transport Canada to look at. And then it's very likely that Transport Canada wouldn't even let you do that without a parachute. And so there are Transport Canada certified parachutes for a handful of the, you know, bigger, most major drones out there. And again, I think one of the issues is that people aren't aware of this. And so, you know, I'm happy to help out. I'm happy to chat to anybody. If anybody wants to Instagram me or Twitter or whatever, I'm always happy to talk about this kind of thing. Because I think what's going on is that there's a lot of people who have smaller drones, like the sub 250 gram drones. And those are in a slightly different category. But even those cannot legally be flown in an aerodrome. And that's something that Transport Canada brought out just a couple years ago. So people may not be familiar with those laws yet.
So I am stunned here, Dan. Like I look, because I just, and you must get this all the time, right? But
I'm
thinking somebody lives downtown, rents an apartment, goes, oh, I'm going to fly my drone over the whiteout and see how it looks.
Yeah.
That's the last thing you're able to do. Like, you have to have a license, and then you have to have the specialty license.
Yep.
And so I'm just thinking of all the people that, you know, buy a drone and just fly it over, you know, their neighborhood or whatever. That's, can I call it illegal?
Yeah, you can. A lot of that is literally illegal. I think I heard somebody else talking earlier today, and he's an FPV pilot specifically, which is a whole nother amazing type of droning. You put on the goggles, it almost looks like you're in VR doing this, and I have that as well. I actually, you know, I put out a couple videos on my YouTube channel about FPV droning, as well as some of the legalities, so anybody can look at that. And again, anywhere you find me on socials, you know, talk to me. I'd rather us not go into a, you know, a further issue with Transport Canada, because as an example, the U.S. and Europe have their own drone licenses, which are fairly similar to ours. The U.S. licenses stuff more at a commercial idea. So they want you to be licensed more so if you're doing it for commercial purposes. In the U.K., they do it by, again, weight drone, but they're actually more concerned with the insurance. Right?
Right.
And so, again, I've got my advanced license. I've got $2 million liability. I've got insurance on hull insurance, which is on the drones themselves. Because, again, one of the scariest things that's always been in my head is, what if it falls out of the air and hits a person? And that has happened in Canada. There's actually video on YouTube of a marathon in Quebec, where there was an unlicensed pilot. Now, this was at a little bit of a different time when you had to have an SFOC for any flight. Transport Canada said, no, that's too much. Let's change this more into a real pilot situation and let's do licensing. So anyway, but back then, this person didn't have that. There was also a drone operator who should have been there, and they said, you know, don't do this. This guy's drone ended up, and you can see the video, it's the scariest thing I've seen in my career. It falls out of the sky and hits a woman in the head. Oh. And I wish that I would have followed up. I could have followed up a little bit more on what happened with that legal case and stuff, but they found the guy quite easily and so on and so on. So, again, I think what one of the biggest issues here is that we have a lot of people. They may have even come from other countries. We've got a lot of immigration lately. Their laws are different than ours. But the main thing is, people just don't know. And even those smaller toy drones or the sub 250 drones, you legally, it's right on the Transport Canada website, it says you cannot fly in an aerodrome. And there's a reason for that. It's because, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, then you shouldn't be doing it.
And that makes sense for the whiteouts, right, Dan? I want to get out how people can get a hold of you, because I would have assumed you're one of the very few who have this full licensing in case somebody like a realtor or a company wants some visuals of their building for a commercial, whatever.
Yeah.
But when you heard the story of the drone over the whiteout, what was your immediate thought? Like mine, I didn't know any of this, but if I was you, mine would be, is that a licensed person?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's both super scary and surprising, and not surprising at all.
Right.
Because just like everything in the world, there are people who know and there are people who don't. And it's just that there's also good and bad people, right? There's smart people, there's ignorant people, and then there's just plain mean people. Some people who know it's illegal and are still going to do it for, I don't know, maybe just, you know, to get some views on social media, right? And for anybody that wants to find me on social media, Hal threw it out there earlier, and I appreciate that. And, you know, on Instagram, that's kind of where I'm most active. But I got three kids, so I'm not that active.
So, I hear that.
But on Instagram, I'm at Dan Harper Photo. It's the same thing on Twitter. And YouTube is something that I'm trying to do a little bit more of and get some of that knowledge out there for exact cases like this.
So right. And the part I liked about this, Dan, was you started it with, like, you just talk to people. Like, if somebody has a drone and has been flying one and hears this and goes, I didn't know that, you're more than willing, if they reach out, to sort of go, well, just what you did with us, here's what you need to do.
Yeah. And I really love chatting to people. My whole career, I've been doing this 18 years full time. People call me at minimum monthly and say, you know, how do I become a photographer? And now they're starting to say, how do I get my drone license? How do I do stuff like that? Because that's a good amount of the followers that I get, because everybody loves an aerial view, right?
What's your Instagram handle?
So Instagram handle is at Dan Harper Photo.
And danharperphotography.com on the web?
That's it. Yeah. Very, again, that hasn't been updated since 1973, but most of this newer stuff is Instagram. Twitter, I'm still fairly active on, and I've got a good chunk of stuff out on YouTube, which is, again, at Dan Harper, or just Dan Harper Photo. You'll be able to find me.
There you go, Dan Harper Photo. I am on your webpage right now, and it looks like my current Instagram, so don't feel bad about that. I got to get better at it, too. Yeah. Thanks, Dan. This has been fascinating, man. Really appreciate it. And as always, anybody needs this, not only expertise, but to get this done, no one does it better, in my opinion, in the city than Dan Harper. So by all means, reach out to him. Thanks, Dan.
Appreciate it, Jim.
Did you know any of that? Let us know, 780-6868, about the drone licensing and all the ins and outs of having one and flying one. And have you had an instant where you didn't know and wanted to? 780-6868. We'll continue that conversation. 680 CJOB, Sam Brunel joins me next on The Jim Toth Show.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.